I'm thinking barbecue here. We've got we're going
why
to
is that?
Kansas City. John is phone, and John, I know you're sitting there with a plate of ribs, wondering if you want to do any work or not. But tell us what's going on at your house, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm fighting with a bedroom door that doesn't close. It is a wooden six-panel door, and it catches at the top, not on the side. I've tried to make some adjustments with the hinges, and that doesn't seem to resolve the problem. If I can get it to clear the top, then it's striking on the side. And this door is a true 80-inch door. It doesn't appear as though it's been planed or cut back in any way. But I'm just fighting with it. It closes over a carpet floor at this point. At some point when the carpet gives up, it's going to become hardwood. But the wood, that shouldn't be an issue with it. I'm just not able to get it adjusted to where it will close.
Well, now, something's out of square there, John.
Yeah, when you're standing there and you're looking at it, the margin around the door in relation to the frame, then it's probably all fairly even until it gets to that upper area above the strike, and it just tightens down there.
Correct. Now, I put a square on the frame itself, and it's not square in the upper corner. Okay. Of the strike side. Mm-hmm. Right. So I know that there's some issues there. One of the issues in this area is the clay in here, and the houses shift, and I know we've had issues with cracking and everything else here. And we've been in the house for almost 20 years, and I know that it has shifted in a few places, but apparently we're this. The wall that this door sits in happens to be the exact center of the house. It sits over, there's a metal I-beam that runs the width of the house, and it sits right over that. And I know that the house is settled. There's even a small crown going both directions from that plate. Mm-hmm. But it sits right over it and runs parallel with that.
I got you. Well, you know, a lot of times when you adjust these doors like this, especially if it's, just a minor scenario like this, you try to do it with the least amount of impact as possible. And one of the first things that I would do, because I hate to plane a door or to make a door, not square. So you could take a piece of 2x4, maybe 6 or 8 inches long, and hold it right at the jamb, and then hit it pretty hard with a hammer, and see if there's a little bit of play up on that upper part where it's sticking, and see if you can move that jamb up just slightly, because I bet an eighth of an inch would solve the problem.
Yeah, I think it would. Yeah. I don't know that the gap would be consistent, but that may be a starting place. Like I said, I've adjusted hinges. I've tried loosening screws, and it appears as though the top and the middle hinge don't recess completely in to the frame. They stand proud just enough that you can feel the difference.
Right. Uh-huh.
But those being if I were to recess them, I think that it would complicate the problem a little bit more, because that would raise the far end up a little bit. So I'm not sure that that's the issue.
Yeah, that's what I would be afraid of, is it's just going to cause another problem. So
yeah.
If you tried to, and a lot of times I've taken a small diameter screw or even a nail and nail it straight up into that jam real carefully and recess the nail, a lot of times that will kind of push it up just enough that the door clears. And that way all you have is a nail to deal with, and instead of, to take the casing molding off and to re-square the door, then you've gotten into pain and all kinds of caulking and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, so that would be my first approach. The second approach would be is belt sand the top of that door real carefully, that you don't round it off, and just belt sand the top of that so that it makes the clearance. So those are the two most minor ways of doing it. And this probably is a result of some kind of minor settling, nothing to be concerned with, as long as your walls aren't cracking or anything like that. But I think I would try those two approaches first to see if that would remedy it without having to take that casing off and looking what's inside there.
Now, in your suggestion of using a 2x4 and just, and you know, just literally whacking it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Do I need to maybe cut the paint? Because I know that the trim, I've put a couple coats of paint on there myself, and I know that there were some before me. And the paint is relatively heavy on there. I'm not sure if I'm going to run into any issues with that. I know when you go to remove trim, you know, you want to cut it so it doesn't break. I'm wondering if in doing that, if maybe I just want to touch it with a sharp blade.
Well, that's pretty sharp of you. Did you see what I did? I didn't mean to do that, but that's very smart of you to know about that trick, because a lot of people won't do that. But yes, I would suggest possibly scoring that in a couple places just to give it a little bit of a relief. Because again, you're probably not talking about an eighth of an inch to solve the problem, and sometimes the paint will actually have that amount of flexibility to move it.
Yeah.
So it might be pretty easy to do that. And like I say, I hate to you know, cut a door off and have the top of your door look different and so forth.
I've got another door next to it, and someone has cut it because it's 79.5 inches.
Right, yeah.
And I've got an issue with it. We won't talk about that one today. That one, I think I'm going to have to add a wedge to it to bring it back up to make it look square. So that's a whole nother ball game. But you said to use a belt sander. What about just a hand plane? A good hand plane.
Yeah, you could do that. Even though on the style side, on the far end, you would be planing that in grain, which is a little tricky.
Yeah.
So sometimes that can be a little hard. And a belt sander just seems, if you get in good position and keep it nice and flat, you're able to control it a lot better, it seems.
Okay. One other
question. If you have a power plane, John, that's a tool I use all the time.
I do not have one of those. I've always thought about getting one. So this may be.
You could definitely get one. I bought a really affordable Ryobi about 10 years ago. I'm still using it.
Yeah.
I think it cost $39 at the time. So I would invest in one of those. You'll find uses for it.
I know when I get into projects, I usually find a tool that I need that becomes just part of my payment, my self-payment for my projects.
Well, good.
I have one other question.
Okay.
When are you coming to Kansas City for barbecue?
Well, I tell you, I was there a few years ago, and I love the place up in there. And we'll have to make it out there again. I'm not sure exactly when it's on the schedule, but we will definitely keep your name in contact so that you can point us to the right place.
Well, you just have to draw my name on your contest, and when you come up and do some additional work here for me.
You should know you can't bribe us with barbecue. It has to be barbecue and cold beer.
And a Royals game.
That's the right combination.